The Holy Gospel according to John. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told Thomas, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered Jesus, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through him believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. Even when it rains, we celebrate. On Easter Sunday, we celebrated God's victory over the ultimate oppressor. But somehow there's a disconnect between Easter joy and today's world as we look at the morning news and see thousands of refugees fleeing Central Africa, or pray for schoolgirls who have been abducted in Nigeria, or watch military tanks and battleships poised in and around the Ukraine as violence continues to bring injuries and kill youth in our schools and on our streets. It seems that there is no post-Easter peace. So why is Easter peace so thin, so short-lived? We know that the discord leading up to Easter brought Jesus' ministry into conflict with the narrow-minded structures of religion, with an authoritative monarch of a puppet empire, even as his close friends abandoned him. On Black Friday, evil crucified him. We wept. It was a day of heart-wrenching passion. But that heart-wrenching sadness and sorrow was transformed on Easter Sunday, as together we confessed, "Alleluia, Christ is risen." The flowers bloomed, the brass played, banquets feasted our tables. The powers of hell seemed to have met their match. The week of Passion ended with Jesus' victory. Maybe now we could say that we could live happily ever after. But already the text tells us the first week after Easter brings fear and suspicion and questioning. Jesus' followers shut the door, they lock the door, they bolt the windows, and in distress, they examine the claims of resurrection and scheme their futures. It's a terrifying time, being caught between the real possibility of arrest and being arrested by the real possibility of life beyond the grave. One possibility would place them in the hands of a powerful enemy. The other possibility would place them in the hands of a powerful God. It was a sober, fit-filled time. After Easter, the clouds of doubt and gloom quickly filled the skies for the witnesses. When night falls on Easter, we are told the disciples are carried after the night falls on Easter. The disciples are carried back into a real world where there is no glow of tranquility that hovers over their camp. Questions, deep concerns for personal safety take over. Confusion and uncertainty fills the minds and the hearts of those trying to grasp their situation. Some grieve, some celebrate, some struggle to believe. But today, the readings that we have before us convey a single important word, a word of peace in this post-resurrection time. How can we understand what peace is? Into the chaos, we are told, Jesus appears. Four precious words challenge the unbelief. Four common words refocus the friends where bonds have been tested with the stress of the day. Peace, Jesus says, my peace I give to you. Peace, Jesus says, my peace I give to you. What is said is important. Salam aleikum means what it says, peace. It connects this encounter with encounters of the past. It promises renewed communication. It offers new intimacy. It opens every possibility of walking together once again. Peace unlocks the door. Peace calms the fear of hatred. Peace dispels suspicion that are in the heart. Still, we wonder, does peace really have enough power to impact the world? So let me tell you a story about this man in the picture over here on my left. One day I met with one of my friends who is a nomad named Malam DJ in the city of Agadez in the Sahara in northern Niger. Malam DJ invited me to come with him out to his camp. So we drove perhaps 50 miles over the sand. There was no evidence of a road there. We searched for Malam DJ's camp. You can see the photo on the bottom there. His family had moved several times in the week of his absence. As we drove across the sand, several herders indicated the family movements. And finally, late in the afternoon, Malam recognized his herd over there in the distance. He asked me to stop the vehicle several hundred meters from his camp. We looked around and there was no one in sight. And he stepped down and with a soft but firm voice, he called out, "Salam alaikum, peace be with you." "Salam alaikum," he called out into the vast nothingness. Not knowing that Malam would not return on his camel, but in a stranger's car, everyone had scattered and was hiding. "Salam alaikum," he called again. "Peace be with you." And slowly this word of peace brought them out from their hiding place. My vehicle, perhaps the only one that had passed in their vicinity for several years, stirred interest in all directions. There on the desert, you can see across many, many miles on the open flat plain. And during the next 2 hours, dozens of herders appeared on the horizon, headed to the camp where we were to greet us. Each walked with deliberate gated step with a shepherd's staff over their shoulders. And at the periphery of the camp, not too close, each one stopped, and each one called out, "Salam alaikum, peace be with you." And then the men stood together and gently put their hands together like this, one over the other. And they spoke in their tribal tongue, looking off in the distance as they spoke, to avoid eye contact, and said, "Fofo, peace be with you. Fofo, peace be with you." Not looking at each other, but conveying a word of peace. One could sense that each peace greeting carried the herders to former encounters, recalling terrible times of drought, of festive Gerwal dance encounters, of meetings at the well, run-ins with the government, disputes over stolen cattle, distress over disease, and family encounters which spanned generations, and all were remembered in their precise oral history. And each simple fofo, fofo, piece, repeated and repeated, renewed an atmosphere of deep trust rooted in history. We have a lot to learn. It's important that Jesus comes to our camp in the week after Easter to voice peace. Jesus' word of peace is important. It changes the tenor of fear that grips everyone living in the post-Easter world. Jesus' words of distress that we heard last week, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? Demand words of a new order. Salam aleikum. Peace be with you. Not once, but twice. And who knows how many more times these simple words were spoken that night, like a shepherd standing at the edge of the camp, repeating over and over, peace, peace, peace. And with each word of peace, the heart and the mind connect to past event, remembering and then reviving, giving life to the present moment. But the text tells us Thomas was absent. Was he gathering food for the needs of his friends and colleagues? Was he engaged in conversation with an anxious person? Did he have family matters to resolve, or did he hide in a safe place and there simply collapse from exhaustion? Could anger and disagreement have already sent him away? No one knows why he was set apart. Thomas did not hear Jesus greeting, Salam Aleikum, peace be with you. Thomas did not believe that Jesus had come to his friends. And his vigorous commitment to truth forced him to say, if I do not see his hands and put my hands in the marks of the nails, if I do not put my finger into his side, I will not believe. And now, because Thomas did not hear Jesus' word of peace, unbelief let him be unsettled, and there was no peace for him. For 8 long days, Thomas could not share Easter joy. For 8 long days, Thomas sat on the horizon, wondering who was visiting the camp of his friends. It's a terrible curse to be excluded. Thomas shared the words of the psalmist, O God, do not keep silent, do not hold your peace, or be still, O God. Is it possible for us to imagine Jesus' observation, perhaps his disappointment, as Thomas persisted with his unbelief? What more? What more could Jesus do for Thomas to bring him in? Jesus had this experience. He had fed the 5,000. Would it always be necessary for Jesus to be physically and visibly and powerfully present in order to evoke faith? We understand Thomas's hesitation because our days after Easter carry us to the bedside of people we love, where pain and loss of faculty bring anguish, and we know deeply that things are not going to be better. The days after Easter carry us to neighborhoods where teenagers murder, to nations engulfed in endless starvation, to cities blackened by war, to memories of the Holocaust, to homes where silence communicates only distrust, to a nation like our own where guns proliferate and are used to settle scores. The days after Easter carry us into a room, into a world of confused disciples who still stand in fear. The days after Easter carry us to Thomas's side, demanding proof, stumbling yet in darkness, needing to know that hoax and pie in the sky, by and by, piety is in fact finally disproved by evidence beyond a measure of the doubt. Easter Monday exposes us to what we are, and that is a people standing in need. But we realize from Thomas that what we think we need is not always what we need to receive. Thomas thought he needed physical evidence. Evidence is connected as his hands in the sacred side of the Christ. But what he really needed was simply a word of peace from the Christ given to his disquieted, troubled soul. That is what is given, a word of peace. And that is what brings peace. Oh yes, I should come back to my shepherd friends in Malam DJ's camp. A fire was lit, everyone sat down, tea was poured. And then this simple nomad, Malam DJ, asked everyone, his family, and the large cluster of Muslim nomads who had come to join him, he asked them all to sit down in prayer. And his opening words were, "The peace of Christ be with you all." And they all responded, "Amen." Alleluia, Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Alleluia. I think it is enough for us also when Jesus says, "Salam aleikum," peace be with you. And then when we look around, there is still ample evidence of violence that tends to drive us into hiding until the voice of Christ calls us to enter into the troubled world as agents speaking his voice, a voice of peace. Salam alaikum.